This is the Cambridge Assessment International Education, Cambridge IGCSE, June 2021 examination in English as a Second Language. Paper 4. Listening. Welcome to the exam. In a moment, your teacher is going to give out the question papers. When you get your paper, fill in your name, centre number and candidate number on the front page. Do not talk to anyone during the exam. If you would like the recording to be louder or quieter, tell your teacher now. The recording will not be stopped while you are doing the exam. Teacher, please give out the question papers. And when all the candidates are ready to start the test, please turn the recording back on. Now you are all ready, here is the exam. Exercise 1. You will hear 4 short recordings. Answer each question on the line provided. Write no more than 3 words or a number for each answer. You will hear each recording twice. Question 1. A. What did the woman buy as a present at the department store? B. How much did the woman spend at the department store?
I went to that new department store yesterday. They've got some great sports stuff.
Don't tell me you've already broken that tennis racket you bought.
Oh, nothing like that. I needed something for my nephew's birthday. They had a great cricket bat, perfect size for him. But I finally settled on a football. That's more his sport, really.
How much was that?
It was 15% off. So I got it for £22, but some were as much as £50. Then I had a coffee in the store's cafe, so altogether my day out cost £25. There wasn't much left of the £30 I went in with.
Oof, expensive trip.
I went to that new department store yesterday. They've got some great sports stuff.
Don't tell me you've already broken that tennis racket you bought.
Oh, nothing like that. I needed something for my nephew's birthday. They had a great cricket bat, perfect size for him. But I finally settled on a football. That's more his sport, really.
How much was that?
It was 15% off, so I got it for £22, but some were as much as £50. Then I had a coffee in the store's cafe, so altogether my day out cost £25. There wasn't much left of the £30 I went in with.
Oof, expensive trip.
Question 2. A. Where will the boat tour stop next? B. What time will the tourists arrive back at the harbour?
I hope you're all enjoying your boat tour around the coast. We've fitted in a lot so far. The visit to the art gallery and the outdoor market, which I hope you liked. And we'll soon see the famous Golden Bridge, so get ready to take photos. But before that, you'll have time to get off and look round the castle. We expect to reach our last stop at 3 p.m. Then we'll be heading back to the harbour again, so we'll return to our starting point at 4:30 p.m, which completes our 6-hour trip. OK? Any questions? I hope you're all enjoying your boat tour around the coast. We've fitted in a lot so far. The visit to the art gallery and the outdoor market, which I hope you liked. And we'll soon see the famous Golden Bridge, so get ready to take photos. But before that, you'll have time to get off and look round the castle. We expect to reach our last stop at 3 p.m. Then we'll be heading back to the harbour again, so we'll return to our starting point at 4:30 p.m. which completes our 6-hour trip. OK? Any questions?
Question 3. A. Where in town did Jack meet his friend? B. How did Jack's friend get into town?
Did you see your friend in town yesterday, Jack? Eventually, yes. There was a mix-up over where we'd wait for each other. I'm sure I'd suggested the town square, but he was convinced I'd said the park. Anyway, then I spotted him outside the library, so I ran over and said hello. Then we went to a cafe.
Did he have trouble getting into town? The traffic was awful.
Yeah, so he left his car at home and came by bike. A wise decision, much quicker than travelling by bus, as it turned out.
I'd certainly have got into town faster on foot than by car yesterday. Did you see your friend in town yesterday, Jack?
Eventually, yes. There was a mix-up over where we'd wait for each other. I'm sure I'd suggested the town square, but he was convinced I'd said the park. Anyway, then I spotted him outside the library, so I ran over and said hello. Then we went to a cafe.
Did he have trouble getting into town? The traffic was awful.
Yeah, so he left his car at home and came by bike. A wise decision, much quicker than travelling by bus, as it turned out.
I'd certainly have got into town faster on foot than by car yesterday.
Question 4. A. Who gave the talk that the man went to last night? B. Which topic in the talk was the man particularly interested in?
I went to a talk about space last night at my college. I wasn't sure what to expect, really, but I was under the impression it was going to be given by an astronaut, or at least a researcher of some kind. Then the speaker turned out to be a scientist, so she was able to give us some fascinating insights into the planets and space travel. What really caught my attention, though, was what she said about the moon. She told us loads I didn't know. Then she mentioned at the end that she's studying Mars now and she's giving a talk about that on Friday, so I'll definitely be going. I went to a talk about space last night at my college. I wasn't sure what to expect, really, but I was under the impression it was going to be given by an astronaut, or at least a researcher of some kind. Then the speaker turned out to be a scientist, so she was able to give us some fascinating insights into the planets and space travel. What really caught my attention, though, was what she said about the moon. She told us loads I didn't know. Then she mentioned at the end that she's studying Mars now and she's giving a talk about that on Friday, so I'll definitely be going.
That is the end of the 4 short recordings. In a moment, you will hear exercise 2. Now look at the questions for this part of the exam. Exercise 2. You will hear a woman called Becky talking about her hobby, swimming. Listen to the talk and complete the details below. Write 1 or 2 words only in each gap. You will hear the talk twice.
Hi everyone, I'm Becky and I'd like to tell you about my swimming experiences and hopefully inspire you to experiment with swimming in different places. I'd been looking for a form of exercise that I could fit around studying, and swimming seemed the perfect thing. I wasn't a great swimmer, though, so I booked some group classes at my local outdoor pool. To be honest, that was the last place I'd usually go to swim. I preferred the indoor one, even though it had crowds of people all trying to swim at once and higher entrance fees. But at least the temperature wasn't as low as the outdoor pool, though I knew I'd get used to that. Nevertheless, I was a bit worried about attending swimming classes. At classes I'd been to before, when I was at school, I just remembered being bored. We just had to swim up and down the pool. I was sort of hoping I'd be exhausted this time, as that would show how enthusiastic I'd been in my swimming. Anyway, we started our first lesson with our swimming teacher, John. I could quickly see he was inspiring for the better swimmers, but also very skilled at teaching the less brilliant ones, like me. What helped me most, though, was that he was very encouraging, exactly what I needed. With each class, John became more familiar with the way we were all swimming and started giving individual advice to each person, such as how to increase their confidence. When it came to my turn, John proposed that I work on increasing my speed, which I accepted. Other people focused on building their strength in the water. Surprisingly, I'd always thought that while I was swimming, I put pressure on my arms while my legs weren't really doing much work. Then John watched how I swam across the pool and said he thought I might eventually injure my back if I wasn't careful. I realised that I'd always swum along with my head well out of the water because I didn't want to get my face wet. Once we'd had a few lessons, John started getting us to try a few things we'd never have dared to do at the beginning. So he taught a few of us how to dive, although I found that quite hard. On the other hand, I thought the lessons on how to float were great, as I'd never managed to do that very well before. After a while, though, I felt swimming in a pool was too limiting, so I decided to stop my classes and try swimming somewhere different. It was popular in my area to go to a nearby lake and swim there, and in fact, we weren't that far from the sea. Anyway, the river close to where I lived was beautifully clear, so that's where I chose to go. I really like being close to nature, seeing the wild creatures that lived on the riverbank and their colours. When I finally tried swimming beneath the surface of the water, the silence that greeted me was astonishing. I definitely recommend outdoor swimming to everyone.
Now you will hear the talk again.
Hi everyone, I'm Becky and I'd like to tell you about my swimming experiences and hopefully inspire you to experiment with swimming in different places. I'd been looking for a form of exercise that I could fit around studying and swimming seemed the perfect thing. I wasn't a great swimmer though, so I booked some group classes at my local outdoor pool. To be honest, that was the last place I'd usually go to swim. I preferred the indoor one, even though it had crowds of people all trying to swim at once and higher entrance fees. But at least the temperature wasn't as low as the outdoor pool, though I knew I'd get used to that. Nevertheless, I was a bit worried about attending swimming classes. At classes I'd been to before, when I was at school, I just remembered being bored. We just had to swim up and down the pool. I was sort of hoping I'd be exhausted this time, as that would show how enthusiastic I'd been in my swimming. Anyway, we started our first lesson with our swimming teacher, John. I could quickly see he was inspiring for the better swimmers, but also very skilled at teaching the less brilliant ones, like me. What helped me most, though, was that he was very encouraging, exactly what I needed. With each class, John became more familiar with the way we were all swimming and started giving individual advice to each person, such as how to increase their confidence. When it came to my turn, John proposed that I work on increasing my speed, which I accepted. Other people focused on building their strength in the water. Surprisingly, I'd always thought that while I was swimming, I put pressure on my arms while my legs weren't really doing much work. Then John watched how I swam across the pool and said he thought I might eventually injure my back if I wasn't careful. I realised that I'd always swum along with my head well out of the water because I didn't want to get my face wet. Once we'd had a few lessons, John started getting us to try a few things we'd never have dared to do at the beginning. So he taught a few of us how to dive, although I found that quite hard. On the other hand, I thought the lessons on how to float were great, as I'd never managed to do that very well before. After a while, though, I felt swimming in a pool was too limiting, so I decided to stop my classes and try swimming somewhere different. It was popular in my area to go to a nearby lake and swim there, and in fact, we weren't that far from the sea. Anyway, the river close to where I lived was beautifully clear, so that's where I chose to go. I really like being close to nature, seeing the wild creatures that lived on the riverbank and their colours. When I finally tried swimming beneath the surface of the water, the silence that greeted me was astonishing. I definitely recommend outdoor swimming to everyone.
That is the end of the talk. In a moment, you will hear exercise 3. Now look at the questions for this part of the exam. Exercise 3. You will hear 6 people talking about their friends and why they like them. For each of speakers 1 to 6, choose from the list A to G which opinion each speaker expresses. Write the letter in the appropriate box. Use each letter only once. There is one extra letter which you do not need to use. You will hear the recordings twice. Speaker 1.
Sasha and I didn't hit it off immediately when we first met at university. Maybe because we're an unlikely combination. Sasha's keen on art and poetry, which I wouldn't have discovered so much about if I hadn't met her. And she's got into sports since knowing me. So I'd say sharing what we're individually passionate about has kept us together. She moved away recently, though, which is really sad as I miss her a lot. But I hope we can stay friends forever.
Speaker 2.
It was our love of football that brought Jack and me together, although that's where the similarity ends. We have different personalities, but we just get on. There've been times when we've disagreed about something, but it hardly ever happens really, and that's what makes him important to me as a friend. But he doesn't live close by, and if we didn't play football occasionally, we'd probably never get around to seeing each other. Still, we could always message each other if there was anything important.
Speaker 3.
Millie was in my class at school, but I didn't really get to talk to her until we ended up in the same college singing group a few months ago. We immediately got on well, and since then, whenever I have a problem with something, I'm just so grateful she's there to talk to. And I've helped her in the same way too. Weirdly though, we don't make a big effort to contact each other when we're away on holiday, but we'll chat non-stop when we meet again afterwards.
Speaker 4.
I don't see Mark all that often, sadly, as we've both got busy lives these days. But when we do get together, there's always plenty to talk about, like favorite TV programs, sports, and music. And for me, it's these similarities that make him a close friend, and I hope it'll stay that way. That doesn't mean we agree about everything. Far from it. But I guess if ever anything went wrong in my life, he'd be the first person I'd talk to.
Speaker 5.
There's never much to do at weekends where I live, so I mostly end up just going shopping in town, and my friend Gemma sometimes comes too. We usually have a good time together, even though we never agree with each other's choices of what clothes to buy. I can't honestly remember when we first met. She seems to have been in my life for ages, and certainly from primary school onwards. She's like a sister to me, which is lovely.
Speaker 6.
Ben and I don't generally see each other much at college at the moment, as we're studying different courses this term, and even the rugby club we play for has reorganised the teams recently and we've found ourselves in different ones. So that means it's all the more important that we always arrange to go somewhere together, like weekly trips to the cinema or whatever. If we didn't, our friendship wouldn't be as strong, I don't think, because we're hopeless about getting in touch on social media and stuff.
Now you will hear the six speakers again. Speaker 1.
Sasha and I didn't hit it off immediately when we first met at university. Maybe because we're an unlikely combination. Sasha's keen on art and poetry, which I wouldn't have discovered so much about if I hadn't met her. And she's got into sports since knowing me. So I'd say sharing what we're individually passionate about has kept us together. She moved away recently, though, which is really sad as I miss her a lot. But I hope we can stay friends forever.
Speaker 2.
It was our love of football that brought Jack and me together, although that's where the similarity ends. We have different personalities, but we just get on. There've been times when we've disagreed about something, but it hardly ever happens really, and that's what makes him important to me as a friend. But he doesn't live close by, and if we didn't play football occasionally, we'd probably never get around to seeing each other. Still, we could always message each other if there was anything important.
Speaker 3.
Millie was in my class at school, but I didn't really get to talk to her until we ended up in the same college singing group a few months ago. We immediately got on well, and since then, whenever I have a problem with something, I'm just so grateful she's there to talk to. And I've helped her in the same way too. Weirdly though, we don't make a big effort to contact each other when we're away on holiday, but we'll chat non-stop when we meet again afterwards.
Speaker 4.
I don't see Mark all that often, sadly, as we've both got busy lives these days. But when we do get together, there's always plenty to talk about, like favorite TV programs, sports, and music. And for me, it's these similarities that make him a close friend, and I hope it'll stay that way. That doesn't mean we agree about everything. Far from it. But I guess if ever anything went wrong in my life, he'd be the first person I'd talk to.
Speaker 5.
There's never much to do at weekends where I live, so I mostly end up just going shopping in town, and my friend Gemma sometimes comes too. We usually have a good time together, even though we never agree with each other's choices of what clothes to buy. I can't honestly remember when we first met. She seems to have been in my life for ages, and certainly from primary school onwards. She's like a sister to me, which is lovely.
Speaker 6.
Ben and I don't generally see each other much at college at the moment, as we're studying different courses this term, and even the rugby club we play for has reorganised the teams recently and we've found ourselves in different ones. So that means it's all the more important that we always arrange to go somewhere together, like weekly trips to the cinema or whatever. If we didn't, our friendship wouldn't be as strong, I don't think, because we're hopeless about getting in touch on social media and stuff.
That is the end of exercise 3. In a moment, you will hear exercise 4. Now look at the questions for this part of the exam. Exercise 4. You will hear an interview with Tamsin Mateus, a classical musician whose professional career started when she took part in a major music competition. Listen to the interview and look at the questions. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear the interview twice.
I'm with Tamsin Mateus, a professional musician whose career began after she entered a big music competition some years ago. Tamsin, how did you first get into music?
Well, unlike a lot of young musicians' parents, mine weren't particularly musical. But they were keen for me to experience a range of different activities, so they'd pay for me to do stuff after school, dance, languages, and also music. I had individual tuition from a music teacher, and that's where it all started, I'd say. That was lucky because although there were always events organised by the music department at my school, none of my friends showed much interest, so I guess that's why I didn't either.
And you became especially keen on learning to play the cello.
Yes. I tried out a number of instruments initially, and I was very attracted to the sound of the piano. It was difficult to play, but it helped me a lot with music generally, and I learnt to play some wonderful pieces of music on it, things I'd heard my favourite composers play. But as soon as I saw a cello, I knew playing it meant I'd stand out from the crowd, and I loved it from the moment I played a few notes on it.
And you became so successful on the cello that you eventually decided to enter a major music competition. Tell us about that.
It was for young musicians like me. I think what motivated me was the opportunity to see whether I could play as well as other performers my age. But I wasn't thinking about what would happen if I actually came first. And I can't really say I practiced day and night for it either.
And your performance in the competition final didn't go smoothly, did it?
No. Although being alongside a big orchestra playing at full volume made me relax, surprisingly. It's better than being the only musician on stage. Anyway, at the beginning, I'd intended to take a few seconds to tune my cello to the orchestra. But instead, they got going immediately, so I had no choice but to begin too, in a rush. I'm not sure anyone noticed, though. And luckily, I'd got the music I'd chosen in front of me.
And what did you play?
It was something quite different from what I'd normally play. It turned out to be a good choice by my teacher because in other pieces I've played, it was more difficult for me to find my own voice. But this piece let me do exactly that. And it's music that many people would have been familiar with, which helped.
So how did you feel when you found out you were the winner?
Well, when the judges announced the result, they mispronounced my name. But I'm used to that, so I knew it was me they were referring to. But my first thought really was for the other competitors who'd taken part. It was such a pity we couldn't have all shared the prize, as they'd played brilliantly. To be honest, though, I wasn't disappointed to see the end of the competition.
So that was a few years ago, but you've recently listened to a recording of your performance that day, haven't you? What was your impression?
Well, there must have been things I did well, otherwise I wouldn't have won. But what struck me most was how the music needed to be played by someone who'd studied it and understood it in depth, which wasn't me at that stage, I don't think. It was a very clear recording, though, considering it was made in a concert hall.
How's your career developed since the competition?
Well, as a result of winning, I was invited to take part in a couple of TV series, neither of which appealed. Following that, though, I was extremely lucky to be offered a place at a famous music college, where I'm now extending my knowledge of music composition, which is amazing. So I owe a lot to that competition.
Tamsin, thanks.
Now you will hear the interview again.
I'm with Tamsin Mateus, a professional musician whose career began after she entered a big music competition some years ago. Tamsin, how did you first get into music?
Well, unlike a lot of young musicians' parents, mine weren't particularly musical. But they were keen for me to experience a range of different activities. So they'd pay for me to do stuff after school, dance, languages, and also music. I had individual tuition from a music teacher, and that's where it all started, I'd say. I was lucky because although there were always events organised by the music department at my school, none of my friends showed much interest, so I guess that's why I didn't either.
And you became especially keen on learning to play the cello.
Yes. I tried out a number of instruments initially, and I was very attracted to the sound of the piano. It was difficult to play, but it helped me a lot with music generally, and I learnt to play some wonderful pieces of music on it, things I'd heard my favourite composers play. But as soon as I saw a cello, I knew playing it meant I'd stand out from the crowd, and I loved it from the moment I played a few notes on it.
And you became so successful on the cello that you eventually decided to enter a major music competition. Tell us about that.
It was for young musicians like me. I think what motivated me was the opportunity to see whether I could play as well as other performers my age. But I wasn't thinking about what would happen if I actually came first. And I can't really say I practiced day and night for it either.
And your performance in the competition final didn't go smoothly, did it?
No. Although being alongside a big orchestra playing at full volume made me relax, surprisingly. It's better than being the only musician on stage. Anyway, at the beginning, I'd intended to take a few seconds to tune my cello to the orchestra. But instead, they got going immediately, so I had no choice but to begin too, in a rush. I'm not sure anyone noticed, though. And luckily, I'd got the music I'd chosen in front of me.
And what did you play?
It was something quite different from what I'd normally play. It turned out to be a good choice by my teacher because in other pieces I've played, it was more difficult for me to find my own voice. But this piece let me do exactly that. And it's music that many people would have been familiar with, which helped.
So how did you feel when you found out you were the winner?
Well, when the judges announced the result, they mispronounced my name. But I'm used to that, so I knew it was me they were referring to. But my first thought really was for the other competitors who'd taken part. It was such a pity we couldn't have all shared the prize, as they'd played brilliantly. To be honest, though, I wasn't disappointed to see the end of the competition.
So that was a few years ago, but you've recently listened to a recording of your performance that day, haven't you? What was your impression?
Well, there must have been things I did well, otherwise I wouldn't have won. But what struck me most was how the music needed to be played by someone who'd studied it and understood it in depth, which wasn't me at that stage, I don't think. It was a very clear recording, though, considering it was made in a concert hall.
How's your career developed since the competition?
Well, as a result of winning, I was invited to take part in a couple of TV series, neither of which appealed. Following that, though, I was extremely lucky to be offered a place at a famous music college, where I'm now extending my knowledge of music composition, which is amazing. So I owe a lot to that competition.
Tamsin, thanks.
That is the end of the interview. In a moment, you will hear exercise 5. Now look at the questions for this part of the exam. Exercise 5. Part A. You will hear a man called James Davidson giving a talk about a conservation project he has recently been involved in. Listen to the talk and complete the notes in Part A. Write one or two words, or a number, in each gap. You will hear the talk twice.
My name's James Davidson, and I'd like to tell you about a conservation project I've been involved in, based near the Dutch city of Amsterdam in the Netherlands. The project's been centred on a huge lake called the Markermeer. Now, some background information about the project area. You may know that for centuries the Dutch have been concerned about environmental risks to their country. Over a quarter of the land is low-lying, which makes it vulnerable to the effects caused by climate change, and especially the rising sea level, which will certainly pose a problem to the Markermeer area. One of the original strategies was to build a barrier to enclose the lake and keep out the North Sea. However, over the years, the barrier was slowly washed away, badly affecting wildlife populations living there. Now, however, the project I've been involved in intends to reverse the damage to the area through a process called rewilding. In fact, it's currently one of the biggest rewilding projects in Europe. Its primary purpose is the restoration of the ecology of the area. The plan is to do this through getting animals, birds, and plants to return. So within the lake, as many as 5 new artificial islands have been built from shells and sand found on the shore nearby. They also used mud that had to be dug up from the lake bed. Already, vegetation is beginning to cover these islands, together with plankton that provides food for the birds which live there in large numbers. The islands have already provided the perfect resting places for 30,000 migrating swallows. However, the project has not been without its costs. Constructing the islands, which cover 700 square kilometres in total, has up to now required a sum of 78 million euros, but a further 220 million euros may well be needed to develop the lake, together with 500,000 euros annually to maintain the site. As a result, there are plans to develop the islands so that some of the funds required can be raised through tourism. Visitors can already travel by ferry to the main island, where they land at the new harbour there. And a plan is in progress to create some holiday homes, which I feel are going to go down well with visitors. So I'd encourage everyone to come and see what we've done so far.
Now you will hear the talk again.
My name's James Davidson, and I'd like to tell you about a conservation project I've been involved in, based near the Dutch city of Amsterdam in the Netherlands. The project's been centred on a huge lake called the Markermeer. Now, some background information about the project area. You may know that for centuries the Dutch have been concerned about environmental risks to their country. Over a quarter of the land is low-lying, which makes it vulnerable to the effects caused by climate change, and especially the rising sea level, which will certainly pose a problem to the Markermeer area. One of the original strategies was to build a barrier to enclose the lake and keep out the North Sea. However, over the years, the barrier was slowly washed away, badly affecting wildlife populations living there. Now, however, the project I've been involved in intends to reverse the damage to the area through a process called rewilding. In fact, it's currently one of the biggest rewilding projects in Europe. Its primary purpose is the restoration of the ecology of the area. The plan is to do this through getting animals, birds, and plants to return. So within the lake, as many as 5 new artificial islands have been built from shells and sand found on the shore nearby. They also used mud that had to be dug up from the lake bed. Already, vegetation is beginning to cover these islands, together with plankton that provides food for the birds which live there in large numbers. The islands have already provided the perfect resting places for 30,000 migrating swallows. However, the project has not been without its costs. Constructing the islands, which cover 700 square kilometres in total, has up to now required a sum of 78 million euros, but a further 220 million euros may well be needed to develop the lake, together with half a million euros annually to maintain the site. As a result, there are plans to develop the islands so that some of the funds required can be raised through tourism. Visitors can already travel by ferry to the main island, where they land at the new harbour there. And a plan is in progress to create some holiday homes, which I feel are going to go down well with visitors. So I'd encourage everyone to come and see what we've done so far.
Part B. Now listen to a conversation between two university students about the Markermere Conservation Project and complete the sentences in Part B. Write one or two words only in each gap. You will hear the conversation twice.
That was an interesting talk.
About the Markermere? Yeah, absolutely. I'm keen to go and see the place for myself now.
Me too. In fact, I've been thinking quite seriously about applying to take part in something on the islands there. You know, help out in some way.
What, as an engineer? You've got the background for that. You could probably make a valuable contribution.
Well, I was thinking more about becoming a volunteer. I'm sure they need people to do things like observe the wildlife there. There's a vacancy for a photographer too, but my skills aren't up to that.
OK, well, in the meantime, maybe we could plan a trip. I mean, the number of birds they've got there is amazing. You might expect them to arrive from Europe or even Russia, as some migratory birds do, but it's amazing to think that Africa is the starting point for many of these species.
I know. I've been reading all about the different bird species. As many as 60 spotted on some days. There's a huge range. I bet there are probably lots of seagulls, and there are definitely falcons, which have nested there and laid eggs. But spotting some swans would be brilliant. I love watching them take off and fly. So elegant.
That'd be a really great sight. Falcons would be quite impressive too. And I'd love to see birds arriving as part of their migration. But I think we might be too late this year to see that.
Right. Anyway, don't forget, our visit will help to fund the work on the islands. So it's all in a good cause.
That's true. I mean, all the plans they have for the development of the main island are exciting, I think. The solar panels they intend to put in ought to keep running costs low. And the beaches they've created will attract visitors, I'm sure. Plus ferry charges and so on will raise money.
Well, that's right. Maybe they could do with some more publicity. After our visit, we could suggest to the people in charge that we do a presentation to show what it's like.
Sounds good, but maybe a documentary might be better? I've got the IT skills for that.
That'd certainly be better than a report, my other suggestion. Right, let's start planning.
Now you will hear the conversation again.
That was an interesting talk.
About the Markermere? Yeah, absolutely. I'm keen to go and see the place for myself now.
Me too. In fact, I've been thinking quite seriously about applying to take part in something on the islands there. You know, help out in some way.
What, as an engineer? You've got the background for that. You could probably make a valuable contribution.
Well, I was thinking more about becoming a volunteer. I'm sure they need people to do things like observe the wildlife there. There's a vacancy for a photographer too, but my skills aren't up to that.
OK, well, in the meantime, maybe we could plan a trip. I mean, the number of birds they've got there is amazing. You might expect them to arrive from Europe or even Russia, as some migratory birds do, but it's amazing to think that Africa is the starting point for many of these species.
I know. I've been reading all about the different bird species. As many as 60 spotted on some days. There's a huge range. I bet there are probably lots of seagulls, and there are definitely falcons, which have nested there and laid eggs. But spotting some swans would be brilliant. I love watching them take off and fly. So elegant.
That'd be a really great sight. Falcons would be quite impressive too. And I'd love to see birds arriving as part of their migration. But I think we might be too late this year to see that.
Right. Anyway, don't forget, our visit will help to fund the work on the islands, so it's all in a good cause.
That's true. I mean, all the plans they have for the development of the main island are exciting, I think. The solar panels they intend to put in ought to keep running costs low. And the beaches they've created will attract visitors, I'm sure. Plus ferry charges and so on will raise money.
Well, that's right. Maybe they could do with some more publicity. After our visit, we could suggest to the people in charge that we do a presentation to show what it's like.
Sounds good, but maybe a documentary might be better? I've got the IT skills for that.
That'd certainly be better than a report, my other suggestion. Right, let's start planning.
That is the end of Exercise 5, and of the exam. In a moment, your teacher will collect your papers. Please check that you have written your name, centre number and candidate number on the front of your question paper. Remember, you must not talk until all the papers have been collected. Teacher, please collect all the papers.